Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If there's one thing that's better than your favorite artist releasing a song that you really like or an album that you really like, it's the other thing that's going to be really great is when another artist that you like, two of them, come together and do a collaboration together. Yes, I'm getting nods. I agree. Some of these groups that have come together to collaborate for hits are folks like DMC and Run DMC and Aerosmith, David Bowie and Queen. We have Daft Punk, Pharrell Williams, Mariah Carey, and Whitney Houston for the soundtrack to The Prince of Egypt, that film, if you know it and love it like me, you know what I'm talking about. Taylor Swift, Phoebe Bridgers, Johnny Cash, June Carter Cash. And then I was told last service to add in the Highwaymen for those that knew. And I'm even thinking like Johnny Cash. Who else is in this? This is bad. Waylon, is you, okay, great. Willie Nelson, that's right, that's right. Everyone's involved now. It's so great. And it is good. But we love these artists. We love these collaborations. They get us excited. Taking two of our favorite things and mashing them together is really, really great. And when we come together on Sunday, what you hear when we have these readings from Scripture is in some way a kind of collaboration. And you might not feel the same way about the Song of Solomon that you would feel about Phoebe Bridgers, but you still are getting a type of collaboration that's happening on Sunday morning. And there's a theme generally that runs through these types of readings. And when we look at the readings today, when we hear this epistle of James, we're in the first chapter of James, it gets read out loud, I was thinking that it sounded kind of like that the author of James was collaborating with an artist that I could think of. Michael Jackson. I know. Ancient biblical author, The Man in the Mirror from 1988. We have some mirror items in our reading today. I'll read you some lines from Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways, and no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. It's hard for me to even read that without getting like the cadence. Yeah. Be the change. Be a doer, not a hearer, says James to his audience. You can do it. We like to hear that we can do things. And the one thing I would say about this collaboration that seems to be happening with James and with Michael Jackson is James kind of has this underpinning of when he says, be a doer, not a hearer. And a lot kind of goes along with that. We like to hear that we can do things. I like to hear that I can do things. Getting a promotion, getting a handwritten letter from someone that you love and respect, being told that you make a difference. These things feel good. James, though, has a different angle to this. He doesn't expect you to be able to do everything by yourself. A common refrain that you'll hear. And this epistle that James, the brother of Jesus, by Christian tradition, writes was called by Martin Luther an epistle of straw, or a letter of straw, when he was translating the Bible into German. And sometimes I can understand why Luther would say such things. James, at times, can feel like a lot of instruction. And it's meant to be this way, but it can feel like a lot of instruction. And in a place where I don't generally, in the past, have come to church and fully expect to be given this laundry list of things to do and then leave, is always the best thing to hear. But James is a letter that was circulated around by early Christians, some of our earliest churches that were forming. And James writes this letter to folks that are trying to figure out, okay, I am a Christian, I think now. Who is Jesus? Who is God? And how does this relate to my identity that I have as a Jewish person as well? The earliest Christians were sometimes Jews and trying to figure out where they landed on who God was, who Jesus was, is a big conversation in the early church. Some of these questions, though, are still familiar to us today. Who is God? Who is Jesus? How do I fit into this story that God is writing with the church? And the section that we hear, most importantly, in our reading today starts in verse 17, and it says this. One more page back. It says this. Every generous act of giving, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Any gift that we are given comes from God. That's like James's in the what our reading today. That needs to hang over anything else that we read. It is a story. James calls back the God from the Hebrew Bible, which is the same God in the New Testament. There's no like separation here. But in the Old Testament, God makes promises, and God makes good on those promises, on those gifts that he gives his people. God makes promises in the Old Testament to Noah, to Abraham, to Sarah, to Hagar, to Hannah, to Moses, and so many more. And James knows this. He knows his audience. He's calling back the great promises that God has made. Promises to keep you well. Promises to do right by you, to take you out of the land, to make you something good. That's God's work. And James has this metaphor in there about looking in the mirror. He says, to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Not just somebody who looks in the mirror, and then immediately turns away and forgets what they've seen. But somebody who looks into the mirror that is the law and can do and can remember what they saw and act that out. On top of this, James has what he says is true religion, putting hearing and putting doing together in one thing. That's James, and it feels like a tall order. It might feel like a tall order to go and to do something else on top of everything that you're already doing. And I want to be clear that this sermon is not meant to load you up. This sermon is not meant to give you things that you don't need to make you feel like grace, the grace of God is really far away and you need to be working harder to get there. That's not at all what I'm saying. I didn't get into this profession to tell you this and to put these things on you or to tell you how great or how pious of a person I am or these types of things. I am here to talk about the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And all of James makes sense through those two verses that we talked about at the beginning, 17 and 18. All good gifts that come to us come from God. These gifts that let us know who God is, these gifts that he has given us are truly good, not just something that's good for a few years. We often find ourselves in situations where we know the right thing to do, and we don't always do it. We know that replying all to an email where you're telling someone very vocally, I've sent you this information months ago, and everyone in the office is in on this email. It's probably not the best thing to do. You could probably just send that right to that person, but we've done it before, or we know someone that's done it. We regret the things that we tell our spouses or loved ones in anger, the words that can truly cut that only you know about. We regret that we haven't spoken to that estranged friend, that sibling, that family member for so long, and holding a grudge is bad, we know this, but at the same time, we want to hang on to that grudge. We have a good hard look at ourselves in a mirror, and you promise yourself that we're going to change. We're going to throw some cold water on our face, and we're going to get out of here, and things will be better. I can do this. The good gifts that God gives to us are really simple things. The good gifts that God gives to us that allow us to be doers, not just hearers, come from the gifts that God gives to us. Water, bread, and wine. It's very simple. The Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of life, who grafts love onto our hearts, as we heard today in one of our prayers. This God knows you and gives you these gifts. And it's not a private jet, and it's not Louis Vuitton Air Force Ones. It's not some expansive brokerage account that's very robust. But God gives us simple things to tell us about really important things. Water, bread, and wine. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but God's gifts are incredibly extravagant, life-giving, and full. And they don't come in the packaging that we would expect. We don't get a prince. We do get a prince in Jesus Christ, but he's a day laborer. He's a carpenter from Nazareth, a backwater, a nobody. This true religion that James talks about is what pours out of us from the gifts that God gives us, from the water, from the bread, from the wine, from these good and righteous things that only make us good and righteous by being bread, water, and wine, what connects us to God, what brings us into his presence. There is not some secret about who God or Jesus is. He tells us himself, and we hear it when we come together and hear the Bible read. Maybe you are looking at the mirror and you're wanting to change. Maybe you are seeing something in the mirror that you don't like. Maybe you know someone, always that you know someone, who is going through this. You're frustrated that you can't seem to get it right. You've been expecting change for years and it's just not coming. What we are welcomed to do in this place, in this church, is to be able to say, I can't go it alone. I can't go it alone. We need some kind of collaboration with God. We need some kind of work that we can participate on. Any good work that we do comes from the gifts that God gives us. The good news is that Christ has done the heaviest lift for us already. The heaviest lift that you have to do is bringing up the wafer and the chalice with the wine up to your mouth at communion. It is bending over this baptistry when you are baptized. Those are the heavy things that we do. The heaviest things, the gifts of grace and mercy and care and love, come from God. Those are the things that Christ has taken on. If you're thinking that this sounds easy, you're not wrong. It's easy and it's the hardest thing at the same time. It's one of those lovely little paradoxes that we get from the Christian tradition. The heavy work of forgiveness and grace that Christ takes on is for Christ. He tells us, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Through the good gifts that God gives us, God makes God's self known to us in his mercy, in the actions of Jesus Christ on the cross. And James offers to us and a reminder of the good gifts that God has given. And only through these good gifts, only through collaboration with God in these ways, are we able to go out and to be the followers of Christ that we so want to be when we look in the mirror. Thanks be to God that we have a collaborator. Thanks be to God that we don't have to be the change ourselves. And thanks be to God who is the author and giver of all good things and who grafts his love into our hearts. Amen.